You are listening to the podcast of Frontline Ministries International. We pray you will be empowered as you listen to this week's message.
Celebrate the day that Jesus made his entrance. Jerusalem for a purpose, our divine King. Verse 1, oh, clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to the Lord the voice of joy. Shout to the Lord with the voice of joy, for the Lord Most High is to be feared, a great King over all the earth. He subdues peoples and nations under us. All nations are under our feet. He chooses our inheritance for us, the glory of Jacob where he loves. God is ascended with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a skillful song. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the people have assembled themselves as the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted. So on this day, as we celebrate on Sunday, we celebrate our way maker, our promise keeper, our light in the darkness. Jesus is risen. He's already come. And we come into his presence, into your presence, Lord, with thanksgiving and praise, just celebrating your goodness because you're so wonderful. So no matter what's going on, that our focus is not on the pandemic, on coronavirus, on any of the struggles, of any of the emotional losses, of anything right now, financial losses. Our focus right now is not on loss. Our focus is on the one who took all the losses into himself and became that loss and became every grievous thing that hurts our hearts. For everything that we're facing, the Lord says, I am the answer. I am the solution. Look up, set your mind, set your gaze, set your heart on me alone, and I will show you the way of emotional health, of spiritual health, of physical health, of financial health, of mental health. The Lord is all about increasing us in every way so that we will just bend our knee and bow our hearts and receive the fullness of who he is. So today, with everything that's going around us, with the world that looks like it's spinning out of control, not in Jesus, not in the courts of heaven, not at all with what's going on, what we're facing and what we're feeling, center around me, because I am the way maker for everything, and I am the promise keeper, and I am the light of the darkness. We may have tears that stream down right now, and that's okay, and Jesus Christ with us when he says, come to me, feast on me, as we celebrate this Passion Week, and we join in actually to what the Lord's doing all around the world. We're connecting with body of believers everywhere. The globe is buzzing. It's buzzing right now in the name of Jesus. Everyone's talking about Jesus, or they will be, because every knee will bow and tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So today, on this long Sunday, we are not ignoring the fact that there's trouble in the world and there's chaos in the world, but our eyes are on the one who says, look up and celebrate, for I have overcome the world. So today our focus is on you, Lord Jesus, and we say,
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You're the king of my heart. Oh, you are the king of my heart.
That you are right here in our midst, and you are doing a magnificent work. Father, you are the king over our hearts. You are the king over our hearts. Father, we make you the Lord of our lives. And this morning, as we embrace you in worship, we draw into your presence. We draw into who you are. And from that place, we worship, God. We worship, and we release the sound of heaven over the earth. I thank you, Father, even right now, that heaven is coming to earth. It's impacting the earth, and it's touching hearts. It's moving. It's making way for Jesus, the King of Lords, to come right in and have lordship in our lives. Father, this morning, we lay aside all hindrances, Father, and we come right into your presence. We come right into your presence, and we declare that you are Lord, and we surrender. We say, you are Lord.
We worship you.
I dream from, oh, he is
people out there who are watching, who are listening, who don't necessarily believe or feel that you're good, God. And I believe that as we're celebrating Jesus today, that He's going to touch each one of our hearts, because He's the only one who can really reveal to us how good He is, especially in the midst of a crisis, especially in the midst of hurt and pain. This is the time that the Lord, we believe the Lord's using, and he's using all around the world, for all to gather in under the banner of Jesus, under the banner in our own homes, everywhere. Every nation has been affected by this pandemic. And so when we say, Lord, you're really good, we know from the scripture that I read at the very beginning that the Lord is over everything. He's over all the nations. He's over everything. But He's not causing this. He can use this situation. He is good, and He is using this situation. And He's specifically calling His people in Israel to come, His chosen people to come. And He's coming back in the brightness of His glory. He's coming back sooner than we might even realize. So it's a really good season for us to be able to say, Lord, I want to know You. Maybe as a little child, we said, okay, I'll ask Jesus into my heart. And then life happens. But in the season right now that we're in, and with everything that's happened between that time or even later on in life, maybe we've been discouraged, or even our view of what we thought God was or is, it was tainted. There are all kinds of things that just kept hammering us. And instead of seeing the one who really isn't at work, behind the scenes but not so distant, actually, we weren't seeing and connecting in with God. Says, come to me, all who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I will restore unto you what the locust has stolen. And these are not my words. This is the word of the Lord. This is the word of the one who gave us breath to be able to live and sing and worship and speak these things out. These are not empty words. These are His words. And so as we continue to worship today, that we would say, yes, Lord, maybe I don't know You, or I don't feel You close, or You're not close in my heart right now. But this is a time where He's saying, draw in close to Me, beloved. Draw in the best way you know how, and just say, Lord, here I am. God, here I am. You made me, You gave me life, and You have a purpose for my life. And it's to do more than just be comfortable and make sure everything's A-okay. Not that that's bad in any way. But the Lord is saying, this is my time for you. And I'm going to draw you and I'm going to show you my heart, my mind, my will, my perfect will. And I'm going to release to you what I'm doing in the earth. There'll be many aha moments in this season around the world. Because the Lord Himself is speaking. And He's moving and He's connecting the body of Christ together. The enemy would love to separate and scatter us. And the Lord says no. And He says, I'm preparing my sheep to hear my voice to come follow me in ways that will bring fruit, release fruit, and fruit that remains. And many will be coming into the kingdom of God in this season and in days to come. In the midst of tragedy, in the midst of persecution, in the midst of these plagues. So today is the day to celebrate King Jesus, the King of glory who rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. The King of glory who came to us and was described in Philippians chapter 2. Who came down from heaven and put who He really is to the side in the essence that He is a man at that time would lean in and release Himself to the Father completely. And at that time, the Lord said, that the King of glory was going to march into Jerusalem. March into Jerusalem as He's sitting on a donkey. Are we allowing the donkey, us to be the donkey where the Lord will say, I want to contain you. I want to be in you. I want to move in you. I want to release in you the truth of who I am so that you can properly affect the world that you live in a way that will bring hope to the nations. This pandemic, this virus is wicked, and it's evil, and it's not from His hand. Our God is good, and He has something to say about it, and we want to track what He's doing and what He's saying. So in this season right now, just lift your hearts to the Lord and say, God, I'm here. vibrant relationship that he has of trust and love for him. It's not just saying, hey, whatever. No, it's saying whoever. So that relationship with Lord Jesus, what he wants to do is invite that to occur and then to grow that up so we can hear his voice. And then we can move in tandem with what he knows is best. They're going to bring his people together for his soon and coming return. There's many other things surrounding that, but he has a place for us right now to say yes. So let's give him ourselves. Let's give him our life. We'll celebrate communion in a little bit. Lawrence will lead us in that. And Andy has some messages too to impart to us for some things that are coming up. And Bill has some hope to offer as well. We're going to continue to worship, and we're going to see what God would do. But just right now, wherever you are in your home, let's just exalt King Jesus because of who he is. Not because of what we see, not because of what we think or what we feel, but because of who he is and who he says he is. So Lord, we're inviting you to increase your presence right now. Just increase as we worship you, because you're worthy. You're worthy of all worship, love, and praise. And Lord, we want to turn away from ourselves, turn away from our old ways of thinking and doing, and come into relationship with you, and give our lives to you, give our hearts to you, and live righteous lives before you that are going to be a sweet-smelling perfume to your ears and to your nose and nostril. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Show us the way, Lord Jesus, as we continue to worship you.
Call me out of touch.
been camping in the Psalms, it's a good place to be in this season. Psalms 46 says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the fountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Be still. And know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. I hope you'll prepare to have communion with us. We have the elements here for us. We hope you have elements prepared at home. If not, you can quickly prepare those. And Lawrence is going to come and lead us in communion with the living God so we can be still in his presence and allow him to search our hearts during this time of communion. Amen?
Amen. As we enter a time of communion as a body this morning, I want to read from the book of John, chapter 12. And today's a special day as we celebrate Palm Sunday, and I want to read a part of that. But the interesting thing is, in John 12, it actually starts with the account of Mary anointing the feet of Jesus. And one of the things that the Lord highlighted for me is that it was really a foreshadowing of sacrifice and love. It was a foreshadowing of what Christ was going to do at the cross. And so that actually started off this progression of events where Mary anoints the feet of Jesus and Judas actually responds to that act of intimacy. And that's really what started the whole thing. But if we pick it up in verse 12, it says on the very next day, after his feet were anointed, it says on the next day, the large crowd who had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took the branches of the palm trees and went out to meet him and began to shout, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel."
Yes.
Jesus, finding a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." And I believe that that is a very timely word for all of us right now, where it says, "Fear not, daughter of Zion,
yes.
Behold, your king is coming."
That's right.
That as we usher in this week of passion, this week of celebrating everything that Jesus did at the cross, that I want to encourage every one of you guys to take time this week and to remember. Remember that process, that act of intimacy that Jesus experienced with his feet being anointed, that act that Jesus went through of serving his disciples as he washed their feet, as they took communion together. That this is a beautiful week of celebration. And it's interesting because if you think about everything that happened in that season, you went through these extreme and erratic highs and lows, very similar to what I'm sure many of you guys are experiencing right now as we go through this season. Is that there's these extreme highs where we get to spend time with family, our lives slow down a little bit, and that could be a very good thing. But then you have that roller coaster feeling of emotions with everything else that's happening in the world. And I want to encourage you today that the disciples had to go through that process as well, where there were those moments of extreme intimacy and closeness and celebration with the Lord as they were able to take communion with the Father. But then they go through that process of the Garden of Gethsemane and experiencing the pain of the cross, and then finally entering into the celebration of the resurrection. That this week is all about processing everything that's happening, but processing it with the Lord. And it's interesting, if you watch Jesus through this whole thing, he maintained a place of peace. That even the one who knew everything that was going to happen, and he knew, we see that in that process of the Garden of Gethsemane.
Yes, Lord.
Where he cries out to God, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. So there are emotions that are very raw and deep in this season right now. And yet, he maintains a place of peace. And I know many of you guys have heard this story, but I just wanted to share it again for some of those who may not have. You see my hat today, if you can see it, it's got an anchor on it. And I had an experience with the Lord, a picture many years ago, where I was actually standing on the bottom of an ocean. And I was chained to these very large anchors on both sides of me. And then as I was chained to the anchor, this storm underwater actually started to come at me like a hurricane. But because I was tied to the anchors, I wasn't moved. And what I want to encourage you with today as we take communion, that we are remembering who Christ is and what he did at the cross. That's your anchor. That's the very thing that he wants you to stay tied to in this season. That we get to celebrate, we get to declare Hosanna in the highest, that he's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that he defeated death, that he went to the cross for me. And that's what he wants us to remember. That's going to be your anchor in this season. So I want to encourage you to grab hold of that. Take time with family and loved ones. That even in the midst of all this quarantine that's happening, we still have the ability to reach out to friends and loved ones. We're doing it from a living room right now. That you have a chance to connect with people. And I encourage you in this week, reach out to somebody. Reach out to a friend, a family, a loved one.
Yes, Lord.
I encourage you to take advantage of communion and take advantage of the elements. That these are available for you, not just in these times that we have as a corporate body, but all the time.
Yes.
You can celebrate this every single day.
Yes.
That there's power in remembering and there's power in the communion. So take advantage of that this week as we usher in Hosanna and declare he is Savior, he is King, that we love him with all of our hearts. So as we celebrate that this morning, I want to encourage you that his body and his blood was broken and poured out for you. That it doesn't matter what's happening in the world, that this is your anchor. That this is the place that you can remain in, a place of peace, just as Christ demonstrated throughout his life. And just like that woman who made that sacrifice, poured out the perfume, that in that sacrifice there was great intimacy and connection with the Lord. I encourage you this week to look for opportunities to sacrifice for the Lord, that you may experience the outpouring of grace that he's made available for you at the cross. So I just want to take the time right now and do this as a family, as a body. So Father, today we celebrate who you are. We declare that you are Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And Father, for the sacrifice that you made, because of the joy set before you, your body was broken for my sins.
That's right.
So that I didn't have to carry them. Your blood was poured out because of me, so that I don't have to carry the weight of my transgressions. And so, Lord, as a body, as a family, this morning we celebrate that. And we remember every sacrifice. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would tie us to that anchor of the cross. That we would look back to the sacrifice that you made 2,000 years ago so that we can move forward into the destiny that you created for each one of us. So we take these elements in remembrance of what you've done. We thank you and we declare that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen.
Just as you're taking the elements here, just listen to these words that Jesus also said at the Last Supper that he really wants to make known deeply in our heart. You know, right now we're washing our hands every, who knows how long, right? All the time. And that's the tradition of those who haven't come to know Jesus as Messiah yet, while they're celebrating the Seder meal and the Passover. So they're washing their hands. But here, the Bible says in John 13, as you're taking these elements, Jesus wants us to also know that he got up from the supper in verse 4 of chapter 13, and he laid aside his garments and he took a towel and he poured water into a basin and he began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So when he came to Simon Peter, he said, "Lord, you wash my feet?" And Jesus said, "What you do not realize now, what I do to you, you do not realize now, but you will understand later." And Peter said, "Never shall you wash my feet." And Jesus said, "If I don't wash you, you have no part with me." So Simon Peter said, "Lord, then wash not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." And he says, Jesus responds, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. Not all of you are clean. Do you know what I have done to you and for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and teacher, washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet." And then in verse 15 he says, "For I give you an example that you also should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent me. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." So as you're taking the elements yourself, as we've been led into the presence of the Lord, just remember that he wants to reveal to us the depth of what he accomplished on the cross through his death, burial, and resurrection, and that we get to share in the benefits of that suffering, of that agony, and then also the resurrection as we take these elements today. So encourage yourself. And may I encourage you also to consider reading that passage and washing one another's feet this week while you're at home. You're in the presence at home of the Lord Jesus Christ with your loved ones. And this is something that can prepare you for more of the celebration and more of the reflection that's coming as we're entering into this Holy Week.
Well, I've been reading some pretty long passages when we've been online here. I hope you're able to keep up with that. I don't think you just want a snack during this time from the Word of God. You want a full meal. And so it is today. But I think that there is such richness in this today that you will respond to the Lord in a very special way through some part of this passage. It's actually the account of David and Goliath. And it fits these times so well that I think it would be good that we refresh our memory on what this account in 1 Samuel 17 is all about. First, in 1 Samuel 16, Samuel is called to anoint a new king. And he goes to the sons of Jesse, and he goes through all seven sons, and they look for another one. And he's out taking care of the sheep. And the Lord instructed the prophet Samuel in this way. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him," meaning the oldest son. "For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Today the Lord's looking at our hearts, and he's saying, "I see a warrior." If we're in belief, if we're in faith in him. If we're in fear, he can't see a warrior. He has to see something else. But if we're in faith, he sees a warrior. And so it was with David. So he's brought in from taking care of the sheep. And he's anointed by Samuel for to be the next king. And it says in verse 12 of chapter 16, "Now he was ruddy with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, 'Arise, anoint him, for this is the one.' Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers." All seven brothers were watching. "And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him." So David is called to court. And he's known to be this description. "Look, I have seen the son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is skilled in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a handsome person. And the Lord is with him." When you're anointed by the Lord, when you receive the anointing of the Lord, suddenly others see the Lord in you. How could this person from court even have any idea that he's a mighty man of valor, he's taking care of sheep. He's prudent in speech. Maybe they could see he's handsome, but they knew he was skillful in playing. But how did they know he was a mighty man of valor, a man of war? What came out of this person's mouth to Saul was prophetic. Because in chapter 17, the Philistines are gathered, and the armies of the Lord are gathered. And you know, they've been there. This is the 40th day. And they're on two sides, and they're in stalemate. "Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle, and were gathered at Succoth, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Succoth and Azekah in Ephes-Damin. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah, and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, with a valley between them." 40 days of two armies in standoff, in stalemate. "And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze," very heavy. "And he had bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam," very big. "And his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, very heavy. And a shield bearer went before him." So if you've seen this picture in Bible stories, it's always Goliath out there by himself, but actually he had a shield bearer in front of him that held the shield in front of Goliath. "Then he stood and he cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, 'Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. It's called trash talk from Goliath. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. So he's trash talking the entire armies of Israel and Saul and saying, come on. And he's been doing this for 40 days. Come on, bring someone out here and the two of us will do battle. And whoever wins, they get the spoil. That was his challenge. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Sounds like our times. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and who had 8 sons. And the man was old, advanced in years in the days of Saul. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul to battle. The names of the 3 sons who went to battle were Eliab, the firstborn, next to him, Abinadab, and the 3rd, Shammah. God is with us. David was the youngest, and the 3 oldest followed Saul. So here we are. We've got the 3 oldest sons of Jesse out there actually in full array of battle gear. They've been standing there for 40 days listening to these challenges. And David is going to come on the scene. David was the youngest, and the 3 oldest followed Saul. But David occasionally went and returned to Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. So he went to court to play, and the demons would leave when David, who now had the Spirit of God, played the harp. And Saul was comforted by that. And the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. So he did this twice a day. Then Jesse said to his son David, take now for your brothers an ephah of dried grain and these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp, and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000, and see how your brothers fare, and bring back news of them. So David is going to be Uber Eats. He's going to be DoorDash, and he's going to take the food to his brothers and some for the army and check on everybody. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with a keeper, very responsible young man, and took the things and went as Jesse commanded him. Back in those days, you listened to your father. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to the fight and shouting for the battle. So there was some shouting back and forth between the armies, but no army actions, no campaign, just standing on 2 sides with a valley in between. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. Hi, guys. How's it going? Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them. What did David hear? He heard what Goliath trash talked, which he said before, earlier in the chapter, which I can't find. Oh, here we go. Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. David heard this. Verse 23, chapter 17. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and we're dreadfully afraid. So you kind of see the armies, the army of Israel kind of coming down, like, are you going to run if we come down here? And then they would go back, but they wouldn't really get anywhere near with engaging, and they would shout, big talk, but they were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter, and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel. You get a tax rebate. You get your all taxes forgiven. The IRS won't come after you if you can defeat this guy. They're just kind of saying that out to anyone. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? First time God is mentioned is by the squirt, by the young guy, the teenager, the one without armor. He's the first one to mention God. And the people answered him in this manner, saying, so shall it be done for the man who kills him. He'll get the daughter, the king's daughter. He'll get great riches and no IRS. Now, Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he, that means David, spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger was aroused against David. Remember, he was passed over to be anointed king. He's there. He's in armor. He's one of the warriors. And his brother comes along and just starts spouting off. Why did you come down here? The oldest brother talking to the young one, the youngest. And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? Are you taking care of business where you're supposed to, you shepherd boy? I know your pride and insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. You're not a warrior. You're supposed to be out there with the sheep, you little runt. And David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? Then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing, and these people answered him as the first ones did. So David said the same thing. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? In order to stand up against whatever is coming against us, we have to keep our voice aligned with heaven. We can't let someone who accuses us take that alignment away. We can't let who we are, who we know we are, the weakness in us, take that voice away. If God has put the Spirit of God on us, and in our case, in us, then we have a voice for God, and He can amplify that voice that brings faith to far more people than just ourselves and our own family. Now, when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul goes, oh, here's another young guy thinking he knows what to do. I'll calm him down. Saul says to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. You're not able to do this. But remember now, the Spirit of God was not on Saul anymore. He had been troubled by a demonic spirit. He didn't even recognize his own harp player. It was like he was a new guy to him. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took the lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. I have a testimony. God has delivered me before from lions and bears. It's not just going out there and taking care of the sheep by taking them to good pasture and living water. It is fighting against the enemy. that comes against you. And I've done that. I've proven, and I had no armor. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Not the armies of Israel, the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the bear and from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul says to David, go and the Lord be with you. That is the biggest miracle of this whole thing. That he listens to David under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. David speaks out courage. David speaks out faith. David speaks out God. And this demonized king that the Spirit of God had left says, okay, I guess we'll go with that plan. And if we lose, I guess we lose our whole army because of you, boy. But okay, we'll go with that. That's a miracle. God had to move in Saul's heart for him even to express those words out of his mouth. So Saul clothed David with his armor and he put a bronze helmet on his head. What's he doing? He's doing what you normally do. I'm going to protect myself. I'm going to help. And since I can't go out there and battle myself, I'm too afraid. I'll protect you the way I would protect myself. That's what the world is trying to do with us. We're going to have these things and they will protect us. We'll have a vaccine. It will protect us. Face masks and so on. Are those things okay to use? Sure, the whole army had those things. But we have something even better. And so David casts these things aside in this case, and we have to be led of the Lord to really step out in faith, because some of us are going to be called to minister to people that have coronavirus. Some of us are going to be called to go into situations where we can't protect ourselves with everything that they suggest that we do. We have to be led of the Lord to do that. But he's going to do it with some of us because people are hurting. People are needing things. And God is going to use some of us to do that, as he did David. Put him in a very dangerous situation and said, no problem, I've anointed you for this. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. In other words, they don't fit. It weighs me down. I don't really need these things. They're nice, thank you very much, but I'm going to go forward without these things. And Saul accepts it. So David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand. He had found a way to war, and he knew what weapons he needed and what he felt comfortable with. And they were very simple because he had the power of God behind him. We have the power of God inside of us that can lead us with whatever weapons of war the Lord wants us to have. Then he took his staff in his hand and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and a sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. Try to get this picture in your mind. Kids, adults, try to get that picture in your mind. This massive man who's got armor on, armed to the teeth with weapons, a shield bearer out in front of him. Looks like David could never do anything to harm him. And then there's David, no armor, a staff, and a sling. Makes no sense except to God. Then he took his staff in his hand, he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. He didn't, you know, kind of hold back, see what the Philistine would do. He knew he was anointed for this battle. He knew this was his day. He knew he was going to deliver many. He took the role, even though he himself probably knew he couldn't do it. He was depending completely on God. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David. So now they're coming towards each other. Now, maybe you've pictured this, that here's the army here, here's the army here, and David and Saul in the valley. But I think they were faced this way. That David had to look at the entire army of the Philistines. And the giant was in front of this entire army. And David was, the back of David was seen by the entire army of Israel. And they must have been sitting there going, who came up with this plan? Who in the world came up with this plan? Look at that guy, and look at that guy. Look, I mean, this is, oh. It put them in more fear. With God's plan in motion, it put them in more fear. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David. And the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. Even the Philistine, even Goliath could see that David was good looking. And I think the Lord just said, I'm going to make you good looking, as well as put the Spirit of God on you. So some of you out there, you've been wondering, am I good looking? You are good looking. Because the Spirit of God is in you. Mm-hmm. And you are better looking than you could ever be just on your own. Mm-hmm. Receive that. And I lost my place. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. He was swearing at him. What are you? This is the best you got back there, you guys. And obviously he could be heard because they'd heard him before. He's still trash talking. Go ahead. You brought this out? This is your plan? Making fun of God's plan. Haven't we heard that before? And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Do you know that Goliath has not made one solitary true statement yet? Not one. He was not going to fight a man. God decided it would be a boy. He was not going to fight the armies of Israel. God decided it would be the armies of the living God. Goliath said, I will turn my whole army over to you if we lose. That was a lie. That didn't turn out that way. It was a lie. And here he says, I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. That didn't happen either. Nothing that Goliath said, nothing that the enemy says to us is true. Nothing that he says to us in this coronavirus situation is true. It's lies. It's meant to induce fear in us. Fear, fear. And we've already said in other broadcasts, fear is our greatest pandemic. We have to defeat fear before we can defeat any disease. Then David starts his own trash talk. I love it. Says to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, a spear, with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. You just have regular old weapons? Do you know who I am? I've been anointed by the prophet Samuel to be the next king of Israel. Do you know who I am? I'm not just some little boy here in this body. I am the representative. I am the ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. I am out here to take you out. Do you understand who you're up against here? You think you're going to come against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin on your back? It's not even ready to throw at me? This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth and all that the earth and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Okay, you think you're going to take my carcass and throw it out there to the birds and the animals? I'm going to take your whole army's carcasses, and they're going to be eaten by the birds and the animals. Good trash talking here. Love it. So it was when the Philistine arose and came. Now this is from a Uber Eats guy. Okay, this is from a shepherd boy. So it was when the Philistines arose and came and drew near to meet David that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. He was so confident in the Lord, he ran towards the Lord. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. This is kind of like, you know, you've heard this before. It's like hearing about, oh, there's a movie, The Titanic. I wonder what will happen. You already know about this account. It's not a story. It's an account. It's not a Bible story. It actually happened. But the getting the richness of it into our soul, letting it change us, we need to be Davids in this season. That's the point of this. Not just reading this and seeing it with our eyes. It has to go in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And to have that sense, he's anointing me. He's protecting me. He is my strong tower because of his name. David spoke out the name of the Lord, not his own name, not the name of the armies of Israel. He spoke out the name of the Lord. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. He had no weapon to even finish the job. He had to take the weapon from the enemy to finish the job. You will be taking the weapon of the enemy in order to throw this back into his face, fear back into his face, and say, you're not going to get to me with your fear. I am going to be an instrument of the living God. I am going to be a person that stands in faith because God will give it to me. I will be anointed by God to know him intimately and to receive from him powerfully because Holy Spirit can live inside of me. So you might be saying today, well, I don't know Jesus. I just found this thing and I'm just watching. I don't even know Jesus. You need to know him. You need to come into fellowship with Jesus Christ who died for you, who died for your sins, and who is willing to live inside of you and turn you into a warrior when you feel like a boy. Turn you into a warrior when you feel like a little girl. He is the one that can transform your life and take fear and turn it into faith. You're going to need God in this next season of history. You are going to need him more than you ever thought before, whether you're a believer or an unbeliever. And this is the day to be the David against the Goliath. Let's stand with him today. There's more. You can read more about David. But this is the time to stand. So, Father, we just lift our hearts up to you. Lord, we feel like Gideon behind the wine press with our knees knocking together. And he also is another one that ran down the hill without weapons and won the battle. Jesus, David had 5 stones because he was ready to take on 4 more giants. Not that he might miss. He wasn't going to miss. It was a strategic throw when he threw it. He knew it would be guided by the Holy Spirit to reach its target. May our prayers be guided by the Holy Spirit. By everything that we do, be done with such wisdom of the Holy Spirit that not only will coronavirus be killed in our lives, but anything that would harm us or our children in our own lives. Let us open up to let you search us. What are those things in us that are weaknesses that wouldn't allow us to go out there and face our Goliaths? Jesus, you can take those things out of our life, those weaknesses, and give us the power of the living God to face any Goliath in our life, whether it be financial troubles, physical troubles, even beyond coronavirus in these moments, in these days. You are the deliverer. You are the healer. You are the name of the Lord as a strong tower in us, God. We come to you humbly and bow before you and repent of the things that might have held us back. That's what part of this season is, getting with you, letting you go ahead and go deep and search us out. And we repent of those things holding us back from being mighty Davids in your hand. And God, we offer ourselves to you today in Jesus' name. We offer ourselves to you today in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. We offer our lives to you today in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. What an incredibly powerful word. Amen. This is how God sees us and gives us this opportunity to rise in this season. And we've been encouraged by many. Heidi Baker is one. There's many leaders here in addition to what we're offering in the body of Christ. But we've heard the phrase, wake up sleeping beauty. And think about that. All you parents who maybe you're watching Disney or you have Disney connection or whatever, you had that when you were small. You know sleeping beauty is. Wake up sleeping beauty. So in this season, the Lord is waking up his bride. We're the bride of Christ, so he's waking us up. He's giving us everything that he's already said is released to us. He's giving it fresh and new. And he's giving this opportunity to us in a season of pause. We've heard that word everywhere. Let's just pause, Selah, pause, and let's just wait and see what God's saying and doing. And as we're bringing him in to the forefront of our heart, and we're saying, because of your blood, because of who we celebrate, Lord, we just ask you to take that blood, and we're opening our voices, or raising our voices to say, put that blood on the doorpost of my own heart right now, so that I can come not just under the banner of your protection, which is great. Yes, Psalm 91 is just, you know, our psalm for the year. Everybody knows Psalm 91 if you not read it. And also Psalm 23, the Lord will restore us. The Lord is all about setting a table before us in the presence of our enemies. And he's saying, feed at the table. Feed at the table. Feed yourself. This is our responsibility right now, to feed, to receive, so that we can give. As Bill said, we're going to be getting into a season even more. And there are already doctors, nurses, others who are dealing directly with those who are very sick or going to be or have been. And, you know, we're at that point now also in our homes, if we're not where those folks are, of saying, God, what do we do? How do we do this? How can I be a David with this feeling of, Goliath? And Bill just painted that picture beautifully for us. But as he said, we want to internalize that in our heart and say, yes, this is what your word says. This is how you see me. And whatever you need to do in my life to me, for me, I got to bow underneath that because you're God and I'm not. You know, there's a familiar verse that virtually everyone in Christianity is espousing right now too. Everywhere I go, everything I listen to, everything I read is 2 Chronicles 7:14, always. And there's an if and a then. So God is saying, look, guys, I'm your papa in heaven, and I want you to know me, want you to know my heart, and here's what I am, here's who I am, here's what I will do. There's a way for this to occur, and I really want to declare war and want to use you to declare war on anything that's going to hinder my goodness. Simple as that. If we start with that, and we say, if my people, he's talking about you and me, it's just not good for us to just start pointing that verse out to other people, for other people. It's for us. If my people who are called by my name or called of the Lord will humble themselves. So we're in a place of the Lord allowing us to go through that process of deep humility. Just birth it in me, God, whatever it takes. I don't even understand it, but show me and I submit to that because you're the King of Glory. And I want you to be my rescuer, my protector, my healer, my deliverer, and for the nations at stake as well. Why? Because you want to bring me into that perfect place of peace so that I can be used to strengthen and encourage others and usher in the Prince of Peace who's coming back. Because I get to live with you forever.
That's right.
And I'll understand more and more your specific purposes and plans for your international mandate for all of us. Every one of us falls underneath that. Some of us right now have a keen understanding or gaining in that or interest in seeing what God's doing in Israel and all over the Middle East. And what's he doing? And we're going to be just mentioning as we bring a close here that we have materials on our Facebook page and website. This is one that will really help you. This is called Israel Devotional. It is a 21-day devotional. You can go there, find it, download it. IHOP put that out, and it's really good. And it will just refresh us in how we stand for Israel and why. What's that Israel talk all about? So if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, the Lord's saying we need to pray offensively, not defensively, okay? David was offensive, okay?
Right.
And he went out offensively, and he knew how to pray because he knew his God, even as he's shaking. But he knew his God, and that's what we're all about in this season. I believe God's saying, do you know me? Do you really want to know me more? Watch, this is an opportunity. So everything we're going through with us being tethered to him is because of love, and he knows how to bring an end and will bring an end to this pandemic. This is, he is the solution. He's saying, seek me, seek me, seek me, seek me. All you doctors, nurses, everybody in the world, seek me. All you stay-at-home moms and families and children, seek me. It is for all of us. This is the call from heaven for all of us. Seek me, seek my face. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, it's like, okay, Lord, I'm going to seek you and I'm going to put myself underneath you. And I'm going to declare war on any sin, anything that hurts your heart, any personal sin, any national sin, any corporate sin, any global sin, anything that is not in heaven that you went to the cross for. I am going to declare war on that.
That's right.
With the influence that I carry for my own life and also the lives of the people I know and love. And as we come under the banner of the blood of Jesus Christ even more, we are going to have more compassion, because he's going to do it in us, for every hurting person, for the suffering people in India, for the suffering people in Africa, the suffering people here in America, the suffering people down the street, because that's Jesus. He was the suffering servant in Philippians chapter 2. So if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray effectively, offensively, in other words, have communion with the Lord, connection, what are you saying? What are you doing? Where do I stand? Who do I need to know? How do I need to motivate and activate? You know, we spend time in his presence and he will speak. And he is speaking. We just will hear. Let's put it that way. He's always speaking. He's saying, listen, church.
Lord.
Listen, my beloved. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. That's repentance. Can't apologize, won't apologize for it. Jesus preached repentance. His first sermon, his first message, his first words ever were all about repentance, really. His first words in his ministry were about turning. So the Lord is saying, this is a time for purification, for holiness, for our personal lives to begin with, so that we are at that place where he's going to begin to download even more with visions and dreams and words and pictures and understanding of the scriptures and knowing why he died. Why did he ride into Jerusalem? Parents, tell your kids. You know, have those conversations. Kids are having dreams and visions and just connecting with the Lord in ways that maybe none of us have yet, right? So don't underestimate what God's doing with your little ones, right?
That's right.
So humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from our wicked ways completely. And then he says, hey, then I'll hear from heaven. In other words, these things need to occur to be able to commune and receive the fullness of what he's doing in this hour. I will hear from heaven, forgive sin, and heal your land. We all want to see that, and that's what we are seeing. So we're celebrating who you are today in Jesus.
Yes.
And more than that, we're celebrating our King of Glory. And I want to invite Andy to come up in just a minute, because he's going to share something that you can look to maybe this week that will encourage your heart. And remember, as Bill said, there's no overcoming at all without a battle. So we're in it. We're in this battle. And I just want to read one verse to you. It's in Revelation chapter 14, verse 14. And it reads, then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and sitting on the cloud was one like the Son of Man, having a golden crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Okay, this coronavirus is wicked. It's from the pit of hell. It has spikes. It is the opposite of the crown of glory that Jesus is and carries. And the Lord says, you feast your eyes on me and you feast at my banqueting table. You watch what I do. You watch what's going to happen, because can we believe that we're in a season where the Lord says, hey, you all read what happened in Exodus. What about now? When we cry out for a mass exodus, people, mass exodus, all of us who are in bondage, who are in slavery, not just to a stupid virus that we are disgusted with, and all the evil powers behind it, which they are. We are disgusted with that, but the Lord says, let's start, let's walk in purity and holiness, which will release wisdom and hope,
yes,
and
Lord,
favor with God and man. And we're going to mature in a way where we're going to see what we can do. And then, bam, you watch what the Lord does. He says, you partner with me. He says, I will do it through you, but I will do what you've called me to do, because that's who I am, because that's on my heart, and that's love. So be my Lord, be my rescuer, be my champion. Pass over us, Lord. We want to take that responsibility and know that when we're thankful to you and we're rejoicing in you, our mental strength and health, our emotional strength and health increases.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the peace that passes all understanding guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And we know the will of God. That's how we strengthen ourselves and stay in the mighty hand of God right now. So we just want to wrap that up. So Andy, if you want to come here, that as we're forgiving, receiving the forgiveness of God in this season, that we will extend forgiveness to other people and give them maybe what you don't think they deserve, and maybe not, but we received what we don't deserve,
yeah,
from the Lord Jesus Christ. Become forgiving machines in this season.
Yes, Lord.
That you can release and move and just move forward in reconciliation and restoration,
yes,
of relationships, and everything can happen,
yes,
in this season.
Yes.
And I believe,
yep,
the Lamb of God who was slain before the,
yes,
foundation,
Lord,
of the world, who's risen from the dead, who we celebrate this week as we're in the scriptures and go through all that we've talked about today. I believe he will say yes and amen.
Mm-hmm.
And you're more as a body, global body, on my page. And that's exactly what we want to do. So, Andy, if you want to tell,
sure,
us how we can position ourselves as something else for a greater exodus today. Let my people go.
Mm.
That's what Moses said, didn't he? Let my people go. He got it from Yahweh. He got it from the great I am. And Pharaoh didn't listen. There's big Pharaoh in the land. So let my people go. We declare it. Every Moses out there, you declare it, because you're declaring this is the year of the mouth. This is the year of the prophetic word that comes out that says, let my people go. So we get Egypt and Babylonia out of us in our global bride. Amen? And watch what God will do. He will respond. He is responding. In Jesus' name, God bless you all. And Andy's,
yes,
going to give us something here.
Yeah, this is such an exciting time that's happening here in the earth, just with all of these live streams and these prayer streams that are going on. I had a chance yesterday to engage, even when I was working in the morning, just had the live stream on, and literally hearing the heart of leaders from the body of Christ across the nations. Even as I'm working, I had the stream on and just partnering with them in prayer and seeing what the Lord's going to release. And so we have all of these amazing online opportunities to partner, as Pastor Harry Pat was saying, with the body of Christ online. And there's so many streams and prayer things going on. And I just encourage you guys to jump into that, what the Lord's releasing in this hour, because there's a blessing there in that place of pressing in. A lot of us, we're at our homes. You can just have it on, enter into prayer and intercession. And so tonight at 7 p.m., Heidi Baker has an event called King Over Corona, Jesus King Over Corona, over coronavirus. And she's going live tonight on Facebook and with some other people as well at 7 p.m. And we have a link to that on our Facebook page. It's pinned right to the top. So if you go to our Facebook page, it's the top post. Just get on there tonight, 7 o'clock. The devotional that was just mentioned as well, there's a post there with the link that you can download it right now. And then there's something else amazing that's happening this week in this Holy Week. As most of you know, obviously, Easter is coming, Resurrection Sunday, but it's also Passover. And just from hearing from the prayer stream yesterday, it's an unprecedented time, because all of the Jewish people right now are under quarantine in their homes.
Yeah.
And Passover happens
They were in their home.
That's right.
Together as a family, individually. They weren't out. They were all together, gathered in their homes in this Passover time. And that's what's happening because of the coronavirus and what's happening. They're going to be in their homes. They're going to be gathered together as families. That's what they were doing when the Lord passed over them when they were in Egypt.
Yes.
And that's going to happen this week. It's an unprecedented time. And so there's a ministry there, and we're going to have links on our Facebook as well. There's going to be 3 days starting tomorrow night. Our time at, have it here, starting at 5 p.m. tomorrow night, and we'll have a link on our Facebook page. You can go right to it and jump in the stream. They're starting 72 hours of worship from all around the world, streaming right from Jerusalem at tomorrow night at 5 p.m. And then also Tuesday morning at 8 a.m., Tuesday morning, 8 a.m., there's going to be what's called the Passover Holy Alignment event that's going to be happening inside of that 72-hour stream of worship. So Tuesday morning, 8 a.m., there's going to be this live event where they're going to be the pastor, I forget his name.
David
DeMond from Jerusalem. He's got a ministry there. He reaches out to the Jewish. He reaches out to the Arab people there and all of it. And it's... the website is called Watchmen for the Nations, but we'll have the link right on our page. And so really encourage you guys, Monday night at 5, that's when the worship starts, and then Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. is when they're going to have this event, and they're just going to be praying out and declaring the Lord's heart over Israel in this unprecedented time of Passover. Because that's what was all, that was happening at the time when Jesus, in the Holy Week and all of that, that's what was happening at that time. So really encourage you guys to jump on. We're going to have links for that. And if you have any questions about that, please text me or just leave a message, and we'll definitely get you those links and connections. But we really want to partner with what the Lord's releasing, especially in this week, worldwide, and bringing the body of Christ together in this time. It's just going to be amazing. So just a quick reminder, tonight, Heidi Baker at 7 p.m. Tomorrow night at 5 p.m., that's when the 72 hours of worship starts from all around the world. And then Tuesday morning, 8 a.m. is when they're going to have this live event in the middle of that worship stream. And that 72 hours is going to, believe it, end on Thursday and lead us right into what the Lord's going to be doing through Resurrection Sunday. So really encourage you guys. Get yourself filled up with the Word, as Pastor Bill was encouraging us. Fill yourselves up in the Lord's presence. It's going to be an amazing time. So we're looking for you. And so, Lord, in Jesus' name, I just bless every single person out there. Lord, every single person that's hearing this, Lord, I thank you that you're calling us, Father, to be David's, Father, in this hour.
Yes,
Father, rising up with your anointing upon us, on the inside of us, Lord. We can't do anything without you, without your presence, Lord. Even as Moses prayed out, Lord, I don't want to go up from this place if your presence doesn't go with us. Lord, in this coronavirus time and season, we don't want to do anything without your presence and your presence leading us where you want us to go and to be. So I speak your blessing, Father, over each person that is tuning in and watching this, whether it's now or later. Lord, that they are anointed, Father, empowered and equipped by your Spirit, Father, to destroy the works of the devil.
Yes.
Because, Jesus, that's why you said you were manifested, to destroy the works of the devil. So, Lord, we declare that in this time, in that's Jesus' name, be blessed.
Yes, Lord.
We love you.
All hands on deck.
Yes.
And just finally, we sent an email out on Friday. And if you didn't get that, which has a lot of information in it, then somehow let us know at our Facebook page or website or something like that, so you can be up to speed with what's going on. And I just want to close and pray for anyone who is sick right now, anyone who doesn't feel well, anyone who's feeling afraid that they're going to be sick or expecting to be sick or any of that. Father, I just want to pray. So, Father, in Jesus' name,
thank you, God.
Father, I just thank you for your blood covering. Thank you for your protection. Thank you, Father, that you have made yourself known and so very strongly available to us. And we thank you that you are the one who brings and releases healing anointing and power and delivering anointing and power. So, Father, we call out to you right now in the name, the mighty Lord. Yeshua HaMashiach. We thank you for Jesus, our healer, Jesus, our deliverer. And, Father, we rebuke any attempt the enemy has already made or will make right now over the people who are watching and listening right now. In Jesus' name, God, we just command every virus to die, every symptom to be eradicated, every sickness to go underneath the banner of who you are, Jesus, because of you. Father, we just add our voices in this, and we say, be healed, be whole, based on Isaiah 53, based on 1 Peter 2:24, based
Lord.
On Psalm 103, 1 through 3,
yes,
based
Lord.
On many other verses, we say, be healed, be whole, be strengthened, that your bodies would be made well in Jesus' name.
Yes,
and Father, we rebuke fear that comes and undergirds us all over the place, trying to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yes,
but you say, I have come to give you life, and life more abundantly. So, Father, we also take authority over fear. Put your hand on your heart and say, I have no fear in me. And your perfect love casts out fear. I have not been given a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are our healer and our deliverer, and we rejoice in you today. God bless you all. Tune in again and look at our Facebook page for more updates. If we have another live something, we do have one on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. So make sure you tune in. If there's anything else that we're going to offer, it'll be listed there and also on our website. God bless you all. Have a great, great, great Holy Week. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you need any additional information about Frontline Ministries International or Frontline Worship Center, you can visit us on the web at www.frontline-ministries.org or email us at info@frontline-ministries.org. Or you can contact us by phone at area code 330-837-8399.